Hello and welcome to the British Chambers podcast channel. We're delighted to bring you a second season of in-depth discussions and conversations with our members and high-profile speakers, ranging from topics like trade, fintech, arts, sports, and more within Singapore, ASEAN, and the UK. Thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. We are excited to launch the Social Media Playbook, a brand new bite-sized podcast series by our Marketing and Communications Business Committee. In this series, we focus on the latest trends and features of current social media platforms, the do's and don'ts, and new developments to come in conversation with some of the leading players in the industry. Andrew Clark, co-chair of the committee and partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks, chats with industry leaders within the social media landscape as they share their tips, tricks, and advice for marketing and communication professionals. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Social Media Playbook, where this week we've got a very special guest, Delilah Chan from the tech company ByteDance. My name is Andrew Clark. I'm a partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks. Now, there's not many people who haven't heard about ByteDance's wildly popular social media platform, TikTok. But perhaps you're like me. I have to confess that I don't know much about it. Of course, I've heard all about it from my kids. I did use it briefly, but then deleted it a couple of years ago. More on that later. Today, we're going to be learning more about the platform with Delilah, who's the head of channel partnerships at TikTok for the Southeast Asia region. I think that's correct. Am I Delilah Chan? Is that who you are?
Yes, it is, for some hours of the day. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you very much for joining us today. Now, I think the first question to ask you, Delilah, is what does the head of channel partnerships do?
That's a fantastic question. So as a channel partnership head of business, my role is focused on working very closely with our channel partner, or commonly known as the agency ecosystem partner. So we are here to ensure that we bring application and we enable adoption of TikTok at scale across the agencies and help them understand how best to use TikTok products that can help position their brand well, that help their brand come on the platform and grow our business together. My team and I are focused on building our agency partnerships across Southeast Asia. And we work with agencies of all sizes, from mid-sized agencies to global holding companies.
Now, one thing that I need to ask is anybody of our generation with children, we are probably only scratching the surface of what TikTok is, probably because our kids are using it. So can I ask you that question? What is TikTok?
Thank you. I was afraid you wouldn't. Well, thanks for asking that question. I think the first thing I would say is I want to address what you said earlier when you opened the session and you said social media. I think the first thing I want to say is TikTok is not social media. I know it's easy to put TikTok and social media together in the same bucket, but maybe let me put it this way. Firstly, we're not social because when you come on the platform, you don't have to follow anyone. TikTok is a video-centric platform. I want to say the way we present video though, and the way video is experienced on the platform, is highly differentiated. So it is full screen. So it's not a video in the midst of some other things that you see. It's vertical. So it's not your usual like TV format that you're used to. If you look at a lot of content that we're consuming, very often, if it's vertical, you're not seeing the full screen or you would have to tilt your screen. You come on a platform and the For You feed, which is the first experience, content experience you get on the platform, actually begins to start showing you a plateau of content. And the more you interact with that content, every time you hover over a piece of content or you like a piece of content or you swipe over it because you simply do not like it, you are giving real-time signals to the algorithm that immediately learns what you want more of. And what then comes out of that is a real-time content feed that is personalized to you, that learns what you like, not like, want more of in real time, and starts taking you down this rabbit hole where you're like, oh my God, I've spent 95 minutes on the platform. But it's also a place for creators. So just giving you a interesting statistic, in January this year alone, our users in Southeast Asia created 10 billion seconds of video. So at 344 years worth of content, it's 10 years worth of content is being created every day. So as much as it is for consumers, it is for creators. And I think it is this beautiful participative nature that brings a lot of authentic storytelling. So people are not just having conversations or looking at content. They are really sharing personal perspectives. They're sharing their personal stories and the important topics in life, but perhaps doing it in a way that presents that personal take on it. And this whole connectivity is what drives the community. So people are creating content. People are coming and consuming that amazing content. I hope that helps people frame the place and the value of a platform.
I have to admit that about 2 years ago, I downloaded TikTok onto my phone for the specific reason that I understood that it was a video-centric social media platform that I should take a look at and learn about.
I know it seems intuitive, but we are like the one platform at the moment who can really say that our video is full screen, not just sound on, but front flip. If you think about how videos have been on other platforms, we have been taught that videos should be red. They're subtitled, they're muted. But TikTok is actually sound on. And it's sound on by default, and audiences actually want it and like it that way. When you think about how like video is the core of TikTok, the format in which that video is being presented is very differentiated from what you're used to seeing on other platforms. You're not seeing one video along with some other content. It's full screen. And what we've also found is because it's sound on, like sound then becomes a very important part of the creative process as well.
That's so true. As a video content creator myself, sound is so important in the video making, filmmaking process. It's just as important as the images themselves. So it's wonderful to hear that perhaps TikTok has grown a community of creators that understand the importance of sound.
Exactly. Let me give you a tip as, you know, a video creator yourself. 73% of users say that sound actually makes them stop to look at an ad. In fact, sound cuts through the clutter of the constant swipe or the constant scroll. It is what we call the anti-scroll. Like when you hear a particular sound, whether it's a piece of music or whether it's like just a heightened sound first experience of someone doing something, it makes you like literally stop and pay attention. And what we've seen is when we partner with our brand and ensure that they have a way of looking at leaning with sound and building sound as an experience within the overall creative process. It just goes on to produce much more engaging work.
Two things. You said it's not social media, so that's really interesting. But the second thing is rabbit hole. I found that it was so addictive, and I found myself watching it for very long periods of time and losing time. But just like you said, the algorithm was learning about me and what I liked to watch. And therefore, more of that kind of stuff was served up to me. And I found that on one level, amazingly clever, but also at the same time, I found that quite scary. It was just way too addictive for me. And I had to delete it.
I think it's not scary. I think it's more surprising, right? I think that the world needs it because we're seeing this deluge of content. Content is jumping at you everywhere. And nowhere have we seen anyone say no to relevant content. So being entertained, spending time on relevant content tells us that relevancy is that currency that cuts through time deficiency and attention deficiency. In many ways, I think marketers are looking for that, to be able to cut through. We see people saying, when I leave the platform, I feel more joyful. So it is working. So at the end of the day, it is telemarketers or giving them this opportunity to say information density matters, emotional valence in environments matter, and the way people are lending time, attention, their eyes are open, their ears are engaged, they're sensorily just so much more engaged. It just also means that when you have a brand message, they are so much more receptive.
So from the point of view of our community of marketers, what is the best thing to use TikTok for?
I talked a bit about how users discover content on the platform and how that is the same way they will be discovering content about brand. making that connection, the best way for brands to make TikTok work for them is to enable discovery of their brand, but do it in a way that really let users in on something special. And once you do that and you think about how the creator ecosystem can be used in that storytelling, then you're bringing together the brand, the creator, as well as the community in the whole mix. So the brands that do this well are the ones that practice thinking and creating like a creator. On TikTok, we have invested a lot in smart tools, video tools, music libraries that allow brands to use existing assets but re-kit them with music from the library, or work with us on branded effects, or use our platform like Creator Marketplace to connect with the most meaningful creators, to leverage influence and bridge those connections and really start to be on the platform, still as a brand, but practicing, creating and engaging like a creator. Understand the audience is extremely engaged and very leaned in. There is this sense of community that collectively drives trends. So lean in on this to drive brand awareness, but also there are so many ways you can use it to drive important business outcomes as well.
I'm not sure if there's a misconception here for me. TikTok is not something that's just for young people, is it?
That's an interesting question I get asked very often. No, it's not just for young people. Think of TikTok as a reflection of life. It's a microcosm of life. So there's such a diversity of creators as well as video consumers on the platform. So in life, where you have parents, you have educators, you have coaches, real estate salesmen, that's the kind of content that percolates on the platform. But just to put some numbers out there, right? Across Southeast Asia, 80% of TikTok users are actually 18 plus. So there's an interesting misconception that actually our users are much younger than that. It's not true. But I do think that as with all things new that are technology-led, we do expect the younger audiences to be the first demographics to catch on. But they age up, number one. Second is they have this huge amount of influence as well to be able to bring great content that then brings on the rest of the sectors. In markets like Thailand, more than 70% are actually the 18 to 44 age group. 9 in 10 of TikTok users are purchase decision makers. Also, TikTok users in Southeast Asia are 1.8x more likely to be in a top-tier socioeconomic segment. And 50% of our users are actually parents, like you and I.
This is really fascinating. From what you're describing to me, TikTok, the demographic is very wide. So what are you really liking then on TikTok, Delilah? What's trending? Is there a particular TikTok account that you really like that we should check out?
Have you seen the Olympic memes? So hilarious. And I strongly recommend it. This is really the digital Olympics, I think, considering also the fact that the whole idea of spectatorship is turned on its head this year for all kinds of live sports. So from the Olympic memes, athletes themselves showing the opening ceremony to like what the bed looked like. And even the official Olympic account actually creating a TikTok that jokes about how they are trying to explain why the beds are made of cardboard. And just, if you get the meme or you get the cultural significance of why that is an important conversation at this point, you'll find like these streams make their way onto TikTok. Sometime last year, Elton John posted a live fundraising concert for World AIDS Day on TikTok. I think on a more serious note, I've talked about entertainment a lot, is when you think about how the platform has grown so much in terms of the scale of the audience. There's a real power that's come from the fact that the platform has evolved and become more than just a place for entertainment. It's also fast becoming a platform for influence, impact, and activation. Recently, we have seen an article covered by the mainstream media in Singapore about how healthcare experts have come to the platform to use quirky video to spread otherwise really boring, difficult, but important topics, serious topics. So we're talking about topics from vaccines to dental care, acne, mental wellness. But they're not trivializing. What they're doing is they're making what is otherwise a difficult or important topic more accessible. And they seek to educate by doing so through trusted expertise, but the format is a dance video. So this is really fun and it makes sense because we've seen how on the platform, 1 in 2 users actually will go and try something new or go somewhere new after having seen it on the platform just once. the whole idea of vaccination and boosting vaccination rates is an important conversation all around today. You might have seen Dr. Anthony Fauci used TikTok to engage youths to talk about the importance of being educated on vaccine and to boost vaccine rates amongst young people. Around the world right now, we are seeing that people can't go out as much. I'm missing traveling so much, right? And there is this trend that's happening on TikTok, live stream basking on the street, literally on the streets of London, Osaka, Tokyo. People are turning on their mobile phone cameras on TikTok and live streaming the street. For me, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to vicariously live through these lenses into the world, because we've all been part of this whole lockdown experience.
So far, I think certainly I've learned that there's all sorts of different things that you can use the platform for. And you've told us about some of the things which are trending on TikTok at the moment. But I think the next question has to be, what are the types of things that you shouldn't be doing on TikTok?
As with any platform, you're putting yourself out there. If you won't do it in real life, don't do it on the platform. There are just some very big rules of engagement. But I want to pivot from that question a little and talk about how you should be doing some things more of and not leaning on how things have been done in the past, so that you can better maximize the potential of the platform. So we've talked about how TikTok is a place that celebrates really relatable, authentic content and experiences, right? There's a certain connectivity that brings people to the app and to the content. And in that sense, what we've seen is users are a lot less concerned about how professionally created videos are. Rather, they care so much more for how real or how resonant that content can be, or how well they can relate to that content. So I want to say that if you're on the platform, you should not have to worry too much about making that perfectly scripted content. In fact, if you are trying to script it too much, or if it's going to be too perfect, it might not be as meaningful on the platform. Rather, think about how you can lean on being authentic, as even if that means you will display some basic flaws. What we've seen is users who are in the 18 to 34 age group, right? They are actually more likely to be on TikTok than they would be watching TV. Now, this tells us that they're choosing the flawsome, we call it flawsome, right? Awesome, but with some flaws in it. Awesome short form content on TikTok. The users are choosing that kind of entertainment over the scripted or long form content.
That's fascinating. It comes down to something, a word which is repeated quite a lot on this podcast, the word authentic, being authentic. It sounds as though that is really important when presenting yourself on TikTok. And then also at the same time, I love that expression of flawsome, being awesome, but also exposing some of your flaws. Now, there's quite a clear format on TikTok of the very short 15-second video on the platform. And then obviously you've been talking about live video as well. What's in the pipeline? Are there any new developments, any features that you could tell us about?
Yes, a lot in the pipeline. So we are constantly building and innovating, constantly learning as well, because the platform is still new. Firstly, I want to spotlight what we are building at the moment that is helping brands stand out creatively. It's not just 15-second videos. Our formats can be from 5 to 60 seconds. And right this moment, we are also experimenting with longer form formats that go up to 3 minutes. Second is we've launched a very interesting product called Spark Ads. So we already know the immense influence that creators have, right, with their followers in terms of organically discovering content and sharing it and driving huge amount of awareness. Brands actually partner with these creators where they've potentially authentically have discovered these amazing products and are driving awareness and driving huge amount of interest through their followers around that product. Brands can now actually take that video and actually boost it to targeted audiences and get real-time campaign results that really help improve performance of their campaign. We've always been a platform that is about creativity. Our Layers Try On is a new feature that we have. So basically, it's an branded effect, AR on your app. It lets you put your camera over your feet or your body, and you can try on different kinds of merchandise like shoes. So if you consider some of these product launches, like sneakers and shoes, is a really interesting way to bring that experience onto you. To bring it all together, we also recently launched Collections Ad. So what Collections Ad is, think about a display card or a carousel of display cards that layer over a video. So as you're watching a video, like this blouse I'm currently wearing, there would be a display card at the bottom of the video on a full screen video that allows you to link to this top and buy it on the spot. So it really shortens the purchase cycle and makes that funnel really shorter and taps into what we call like shoppertainment and impulse buying as well. So there's a lot of innovation to break the mold in terms of what we've seen so far in terms of video and display advertising and bringing it together. If you haven't tried out, do check out TikTok for Business. It's a business tool that we've launched. And what it does, it allows marketers to understand how to go through the entire process of creating advertisements on the platform, how to set budget, how to reach the audiences you want, and understand what kind of reach that you would get. So if you're looking for creative inspiration, you're looking for tips, you're looking for case studies, definitely come to TikTok for Business and think of it as an e-learning service that lets you access TikTok's global audiences.
That's really interesting. So this brings us on to the final question that I have for you, Delilah, which is, what is the one piece of advice you have for marketing and communication professionals during COVID?
I think one of the things I would say is that definitely we're seeing that people are spending time indoors so much more. And TikTok is one of the platforms that are able to say we see our user numbers actually grow through the time of COVID. In fact, based on the latest Sensor Tower data, TikTok is growing at a pace that now boasts 3 billion global downloads. And I think this growth is important, not just in terms of its scale, right? But you want to think about the attention and the time spent as well. You have also talked about how easy it is to get addicted when you come on the platform and you just don't realize how much time you've spent. The fact is that daily time spent on the platform is more than an hour, and the daily open rate is more than 10 times. Now, this really matters. This is because mobile has fast become our primary screen, but the challenge that marketers face is that time and attention spent in ads is highly fragmented. So winning time and winning attention really is the first step to winning audiences. At the same time, we see the energy and emotional balance of media environment tightening through this time. This is an environment where it's about inspiring creativity and sparking joy through that. I can't tell you how important it is to be talking to audiences in an environment that is joyful. Some 76% of users say TikTok actually brings joy, and that's why they come on the platform. You think about what the world is going through, this profound crisis with COVID. Everyone's looking for some level of, I guess, to be uplifted.
Yeah.
To be happier. One in two actually say when they come onto TikTok, when they leave, they actually feel more joy than before. And I think this is really powerful for brands to be able to be on a platform that is helping audiences bridge that gap.
Hmm.
And for a lot of these brands, there are so many ways in which you can tap into what audiences want more of during this time. And the platform that we have really makes it so easy for you to be creating content that speaks to that. So the advice I have is actively pivot to respond to these shifts. Brands now have this opportunity to show up so much more meaningfully in front of audiences through being useful, helpful, entertaining, whilst driving discovery and engagement that fosters long-term brand love.
There's loads of people on it. You've done extremely well during this period of global lockdown where the audience base has grown. You're trying to bring joyfulness to advertising. But really at its core, it sounds to me as though TikTok is really all about video, and the growth of video online is something that TikTok is really harnessing and getting a lot of success out of. It's been really fascinating. I've learned so much. I must confess, I had so many preconceptions about what TikTok is before we had this interview, but now you've taught me so much about how we can really harness it. Thank you very much indeed, Delilah.
Thank you. It was great being on the show. I want to say it's an open invitation. Get in touch and look at how some of these shifts can be navigated through connection, through creatives, through sound. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Social Media Playbook podcast, brought to you by the Marketing and Communications Committee from the British Chamber of Commerce. My name's Andrew Clark. I'm a partner at AsiaWorks, a creative video agency, and we'll be back again with some seriously interesting insights from social media thought leaders very soon. Please listen and subscribe. You can hear this podcast on all the usual platforms such as Spotify, Apple, and Google. See you next time. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, don't forget to subscribe and rate our channel on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit www.britcham.org.sg.